love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 11, A Flick of the Wrist. In this podcast, we're reflecting on another aspect of Song culture which has stood the test of time, namely calligraphy. Unusually, it was a skill that was not exemplified by the emperors, and yet it has still become a crucial part of the Song Dynasty's arsenal of expression. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colorful history. There are several take-homes from the podcasts that we've had so far. The Song Dynasty was a very creative place, largely down to the influence and encouragement of its emperors. Not just their characters and interests, for example that they liked tea or art, but also due to their statecraft and administrative reforms. In many cases, the creativity sprang from unintended consequences. In the last podcast, we learned that Emperor Huizong, for example, was a great fan of art and painting, and indeed engaged in it himself. But he did so at the cost of his grip on security. It was almost an equivalent of the Roman Emperor Nero fiddling while Rome burned. His attention was elsewhere when he should have been protecting his realm. The Song emperors preferred to have a good time rather than face up to the fact that they were under threat from avaricious barbarians. So, while he was busy painting and collecting art and holding spectacular tea parties for all his friends, there were plenty of things that he wasn't doing: guarding the nation's security, tackling social ills, and also, crucially, neglecting calligraphy. First off, let's get clear in our minds the importance of calligraphy in Chinese society. For many people in the West, the word will conjure up images of using a nice pen given to you by your auntie at Christmas and writing something in a fancy way. It's a skill which, thanks to the development of computers, smartphones, and tablets, is fast dying out. But in China, it's a very different matter. Calligraphy, literally meaning beautiful writing, has been appreciated as a high art form in China for millennia. From early times, it was considered not just a form of decorative art, but a supreme visual art, more highly valued than painting or sculpture, and has been ranked alongside poetry as a means of expression. How one wrote was just as important as what one wrote. So it wasn't just about an individual's skills, but also the materials you used to achieve your aim and the ideas you wanted to express. The earliest examples of calligraphy in China were found on so-called oracle bones, animal bones and turtle shells, or on bronze vessels, many of which date back to 1600 BC. The people of the Shang Dynasty at the time created a connection between writing and ritual and political authority, which was still strong during the time of the Song. It wasn't until the Han Dynasty, about 200 BC, that the basic materials used by calligraphers today, brushes, ink, paper, and inkstone, were perfected. They are called the four treasures of the study. Brushes were often made of bamboo, ink from burning pine resin. Paper was made from mulberry, hemp, or bamboo fibers. An inkstone slab was used for grinding the ink and mixing it with water. These are the same materials used in painting in China, although calligraphy was always more highly prized. Chinese written script is made up of several thousand individual characters. Each consists of an invariable group of strokes, which have to be executed in a set order. That means that a true connoisseur of Chinese calligraphy can retrace the steps taken to create each character observing subtle nuances such as delicacy, force, speed, and emotion. For example, how a stroke represents a boulder plummeting down a hillside, or how graceful patterns evoke the ripples on the surface of a pond left by swimming geese. Reading Chinese calligraphy well, then, means developing a close and personal relationship with a work's unseen creator. One of the most famous pieces of calligraphy in China, by the way, is actually not a painted scroll or a painting, but the masthead of the People's Daily, the official newspaper of the People's Republic of China. The four characters were said to have been brushed by Chairman Mao himself. Emperor Huizong often sought escape from matters of state through the pleasures of arts and letters. He not only was a patron of the arts, but a fine painter and an accomplished calligrapher. In his works, he wanted to depict objects as they truly were. His calligraphy is described as elegant, and his style has become known as slender gold. We heard in an earlier podcast that one big change at the start of the Song Dynasty was the emphasis placed on the civil service exam system. Rather than official posts being doled out according to who you knew, or indeed who you could bribe, if you wanted a good job in the Song Dynasty, you had to pass an exam. It became more important than military skills and aptitude for the martial arts. Add to that the revival of Confucianism with its emphasis on meditation, questioning, observation, and expression, and you have the seeds for the flowering of calligraphy by the scholar classes. So the emperor, who probably never had to pass an exam in his life, found himself surrounded by a whole new class of clever, accomplished, literate, artistic people. Why buy a dog and bark yourself? There were four great calligraphers during the Song Dynasty: Su Shi, Huang Tingjian, Mi Fu, and Zai Xiang, each of whom invented their own styles. They've all appeared together recently on a set of postage stamps. Su Shi, we've already met, under the name of Su Dongpo, the tea poet. He was always regarded as better in literature and poetry than he was at calligraphy. He tended to go his own way and let the spirit move him. He was playing by his own rules. He and Huang Tingjian often came to blows in a light-hearted fashion, criticizing each other's work playfully. Su would say to Huang, "Your calligraphy is vigorous, but it's like snakeskin hanging on top of a tree and stretching legs and feet." Huang would get his own back by saying, "I dare not slander you, but your calligraphy is flat and fat and like a toad under a stone." Mi Fu, meanwhile, was widely considered the best calligrapher in the Song Dynasty. He specialized in the hanging arm technique, holding the brush with the whole arm hanging in the air. Neither the elbow nor the wrist or hand should rest on the desk. Zai Xiang was a politician and a scholar, the tea expert that we talked about in the last episode. He was known for plain speaking, but emotional in his calligraphy. Add to these Yue Fei, who allegedly invented form intention boxing, a fighting technique in which the mind was expected to control the positions of the body. Yue Fei was a great military general, calligrapher, and poet during the Southern Song Dynasty. He is regarded as a bit of a national hero in China. In comparison to their styles, Emperor Huizong developed a style called Slender Golden, which looked a bit spindly, to be honest. Mi Fu, despite his artistic ability, was no good at poetry, though. One rude critic said his poetry was enough to drive away locusts. He gave as good as he got by reporting to the Emperor Huizong of his contemporaries one day that Zai Jing has no skills. Zai Bian has skills but lacks elegance. Zai Xiang is outlining. Shen Liao, arranging. Huang Tingjian, copying. And Su Shi, drawing. A useless fact to wow your friends with. Mi Fu was also misophobic, which means he was paranoid that he would catch viruses, so would repeatedly wash his hands. He even bought a coffin and would sit in it waiting for death, reading official documents. There was another factor in the Song dynasty which had a big impact on calligraphic styles. In earlier dynasties, calligraphers used low desks and tea tables and sat on the ground. They had to raise their arm, elbow, and wrist in order to write. In the Song dynasty, desk heights got higher, so that people could write in a more comfortable way. The Song loved luxury. But that meant they also became lazy, resting their elbows on the desk, which changed the look of the characters they were writing, some say making their work look less attractive. Regardless of their aesthetic qualities, one thing is certain. The contemporary love of all things artistic has ensured that we have a greater understanding of the people and the times of the Song dynasty. Special thanks go out to San Lian Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time.